Hello, friends, and welcome to Align with Alicia, your everyday guide for aligning with your truest essence. Today, we're going to be venturing out a little bit further, and we're going to be talking about something that I really enjoy and hopefully makes you question a few things. So what are we talking about today? We are talking about psychics, mediums, intuitives, and empaths. Oh my. So stay tuned, we'll begin right after this. Hello friends, my name is Alicia and thank you for creating some time to hang out with me today. Today we're going to be venturing out into the land of psychics, intuitives, mediums, and empaths. I feel like all of these words right now are really trendy. You can open up your Instagram feed and see one or a couple of these words, depending on what you follow. I feel that the word empath, you may even hear in conversations now, or energy vampires, or they're becoming very trendy, which is wonderful because that means that we're consciously aware of these things now as a society. We're bringing light to them. But also when things become trendy, we tend to misuse them, mislabel them, not fully understand them, rather just kind of taking that title and plopping it on. So we're going to go through what each of these are and the differences, and you'll probably notice, even if you start this podcast thinking, that is not me, I am not any of those things, I guarantee you, you will find yourself questioning by the end of this podcast. You probably have some of these traits of one, two, or maybe even all of them. So let's get into it. Let's get weird. Let's get out there, you guys. So first off, I wanted to talk about this today because I've been doing healing work, probably for about 3 years now, as a facilitator, working individually with people. And it never fails when I do healing sessions, when I come out of a healing session and I give everyone these messages and tell them everything that I picked up on and that we worked on in a healing session, the first thing out of everyone's mouth is, wow. You have such a gift. That's incredible. I wish I had a gift like that. And what I say to every single person, and what this podcast is all about, is you do. You do. I'm not special. I'm not enlightened being that possesses these skills that nobody else does. No, we all have different gifts. It's can we tune into them and not only become aware of them, but can we own them? Can we take responsibility for them? And can we hone in on them? And that's where the true magic happens. When you can hone in on them and learn to use them in your everyday life, whether you're a healer or not, whether you're using these professionally or not, or just using them in your personal life, or with your children, or with your spouse, you do possess gifts, but it's time for us to stop ignoring them, right? It's time for us to say, hell yeah, I do. That's right. That is something that is an actual gift that I have, and not something that I'm making up. So with that said, before we get into it, I'll just give you a little bit of my personal story. So I've had gifts since I was a little girl. And I wish I had a family that could recognize that and cultivate it. That's what I try to do with my kids now. But it was a different era. It was a different time, right? And a lot of times these gifts aren't talked about. It's weird or it's not socially acceptable. So I was always labeled as a kid with a very overactive imagination. But for me, it wasn't an imagination. I knew the difference of imagination and real life. And this other real life things that I perceived that nobody else could perceive or wanting to acknowledge that they could perceive. So I spent a lot of my life being labeled as the kid with an overactive imagination. So what happened is I felt very shamed, and so I stopped talking about it. I stopped talking about the fact that every time I walked into a room, I could spot out the smallest detail that was different. I didn't talk about how when I walked into a room, if someone had been fighting, I could feel it. And I sure as heck absolutely did not tell a single soul as I was a little girl the different paranormal things that I experienced or different interactions with spirits that I experienced that were never scary to me. They were just a part of my life. And so I never talked about it. And never talking about something and feeling shameful and feeling almost that you've made it up, it just kind of, you push it down. And you try to be as normal as possible, or at least I did. And I'm not a good person to try to fit in with the crowd and try to be normal. It just feels uncomfortable for me. I feel out of my skin. I feel out of place, and I tend to get just a lot of anxiety when I'm not my authentic self. So I spent a good amount of my time from probably late childhood to early adolescence trying to fit in and be normal, not talking about these experiences. And when I first began yoga, this was my spiritual connection. So I had always, I guess I should have added this too. I've always been drawn to, when I was a kid, instead of playing with the neighborhood kids, I would do that too. There was like a metaphysical occult shop in my little town. And what I would do is I would ride my bike up there every single day, and I would talk with the store owners every single day. I would look at books. I would look at candles. I would play with tarot cards. I would read about palmistry, all of that. And that's where I always felt drawn. And that's where I always felt the most comfortable. I don't know how these store owners put up with this little 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, you know, all through all those years of me just hanging out in there, just wanting to learn everything I could. And it just felt comfortable to me rather than going to play with kids. I did do that, but that felt comfortable to me. And wherever I go, I somehow find those shops and I'm always drawn into them. And it feels very comforting to me to go to those shops. And when I was 13, I think the first book that I bought that I had to beg my mother to buy, I bought it, but I had to beg her for the approval, was called Teen Witch. And it was just this like teenager 101 book of metaphysics and energy and spells and stuff like that. And I would just read it cover to cover every single time. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But anywho, venture into, so that was always my spirituality. I wasn't a church person, but I always felt very spiritually connected with, I don't know what, but that for me was always there. So fast forward to adolescence, early adolescence, early 20s, I started yoga. And that was the first time where I really saw people kind of being their authentic selves, of having these spiritual experiences, having these out-of-body experiences, having experiences that were not quote-unquote normal per se, and really just owning them and talking very openly about them. And that was the first time. I remember telling my husband, because I was in Chicago, I was on the other side of the country from everyone I knew. The only person I knew was my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, and a couple of friends. Everyone I knew, everyone I grew up with, was on the other side of the country in California. So I remember telling my husband, boyfriend at the time, this is the first time I feel accepted for exactly who I am. This is the first time where I feel that I can openly talk about these things that I haven't been able to talk about, that aren't, quote unquote, real world things. That was the first time where in a community, I felt really loved and accepted for just exactly who I was. And I could take off the facade of trying to be normal, which was really, really wonderful. It was such a comforting place and community to be. And then with that, the spiritual connection came. And I found I could hone in more to my gifts, my weirdness, as I always called it. And so after my yoga certification and moving away from that community that was really, really hard for me, I moved back to California and moved back to everyone I grew up with. And again, I felt that pressure to kind of like, okay, be normal. Don't let anyone know about your weirdness. And I got back into yoga. It took me a while to find my yoga scene out in California, because I wasn't in it for the hot, sweaty type of yoga. I wasn't in it for the abs and the arms, and for the really great music. Right, I was into it for the spiritual connection. I was into it for learning about the deities, and I was into it for the chanting, and I was into it for all the things that were weird that you couldn't find anywhere else that I really, really loved. So it took me a while to find a community like that. And how I found it was I built it. So a couple of years ago, I started my own studio, and I worked privately with people. At the time, of course, it aligned with meeting different energy healers. And the more I worked with people one-on-one, the more my gifts, the more my senses picked up on things. And that aligned with me seeing an energy healer as well. And we were chatting one day after one of my sessions. And she goes, you know you're an empath, right? I was like, what? Come again? I don't know what that means. She's like, well, you can feel other people's stuff, and we can learn it in different ways, and we perceive it in different ways, and it's a gift that a lot of different healers have. And so from there, I went on a research tangent, which I don't suggest doing. That's just how my brain works. Is I have to research things and then sit with them and kind of see what digests for me and what aligns and what doesn't. So I began probably like a year long just going in depth and learning about everything energy-based, metaphysical-based, empath-based, all of it. And the reason I don't suggest doing this is because everything's already within you. Learn to some degree, but I think when we get too wrapped up in textbook, in written word, in someone else's teachings, we kind of set aside what's naturally within us, and we look for answers externally rather than the answers that are already in there. They're already trying to speak to us. They're already trying to come out. But for me, it worked understanding the logical aspects of it. So after that year, and this aligned, if you listen to my last podcast, this aligned with my shamanic healing, which took me way further into that, and meeting my ancestors and understanding that almost everybody has these gifts and that they're passed down and it's just people aren't willing to talk about them. So what did I start doing? I started talking about them. Every client I had, after I told them everything that we worked on and all of that, we start talking about gifts. We start talking about the different sensories and how you pick up information that isn't there. And my goal was I wanted to start normalizing it. I wanted to start giving people permission to talk about it, to say, oh yeah, I have that same thing, or this is how I perceive things. Or I got a message the other day from this, and being able to hold that space where we can have those conversations where it's not weird, where it's not shocking, it's not shameful, it's not judgmental. It's just as real as, oh yeah, I went to go pick up my kid from the grocery store, from school, and then we went to the grocery store. Solidifying it and validating it so it's just as real as that, right? Like, how cool is that? And the more I started talking about it, the more relief I felt from people, the more it gave them permission, and the more I was able to hold that space, the more we built a community individually and together. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful to see. And it wasn't only women, which was awesome. I had a lot of men come to me that also they started to become very in tune with their gifts. And that was such a cool thing to see. Because when we tune in with our gifts, we start to tune into our feminine energy a little bit more. So seeing really masculine men start to tune into their feminine energy and their gifts was like probably one of the coolest things I've seen. So that's why I'm doing this. To shed light on this, to give permission for you to say, yep, me too. I got those. And I'm going to start using them. I'm going to start honing in on them. I'm going to start talking about them. Right? How cool is that? So, with that, let's get into what everything is. Yeah? Trendy words, especially all these, I feel that they're very intermixed, interchangeable. And so we lose what they really are. So let's go into basic 101, intuition. We all have an intuition. Every single one of us. There is not anyone on this planet that does not have an intuition. Now, do you listen to it? That's the thing. That's the thing. We oftentimes don't listen to our intuition. So intuition is your gut instincts. When you have a gut feeling about something, that's your intuition. You also may have heard like mother's instinct, when a mom just has a feeling that something's going on with her kid. That's intuition. These are these little things that pop up inside of us of just a clear split moment of knowing. Right? But oftentimes now in our society of to-do lists, of being busy, we have to stay in our mental bodies. We have to stay really smart and sharp in our mental bodies. Well, what happens with our mental bodies is there's a lot of mental stories and a lot of mental chatter, and the ego can get very wrapped up in that. And so we don't like to listen to our intuition because that's not real, that's not tangible. And so we push it off. And then how many times that thing that we knew was going to happen happens, we're like, damn it. I should have listened. I should have listened to myself. I knew it. Why did I go against that? I won't do that again. And then it happens again, right? So that's our intuition. We all have that. We're all born with that. That's just those instincts that come up, those little moments of just knowing. And there's nothing logical about it. It's just our instincts, right? So that's intuition. Every single one of us has that. So if nothing else on this podcast, we can say, yep, I have an intuition. So if nothing else, start listening to your intuition more. Because the more you listen to it, the more you validate it, the more you give it permission to speak, the more it's going to speak to you. The more it's going to give you little clues and hints of how to align with it and align with your life and your highest self, right? Okay, so that's intuition. Psychic. This is a long one. I love this one too. So these terms, there's no like one definite answer, right? It just depends on where you look. Everyone gives their own answers. And I encourage you to find your own answers of what you think each of these are. So a psychic is a little bit deeper than the intuition. The psychic is using our senses and perceiving information that cannot be seen, or things that aren't real world that we can perceive information from, like auras or vibrations, being able to read energy to a sense, and get information from the energy that can't be seen. So that's psychic. It's not necessarily looking into the crystal ball and predicting your future. Some people can do that. That's awesome. Depends on where your gifts lie for that. So with that said, using the senses, there's these different, they're called claras. These different clara ways and senses that we receive information. So this is where I really like to like nerd out. Because when I talk to everybody, when I get done with my sessions and they're like, "Oh, you have such incredible gifts." I'm like, "Wait a minute. You have some too," because sometimes I can pick up what people's gifts are. We tend to all have at least one of these, if not some of these, and they can cross over and you can have one that's stronger than the other. And then the more you hone into these claras, the more they expand and you can start to develop other ones. So how I simply put it is, it's just the way we take in information. So in our physical body, we have our five senses and those play a factor in it. In the clairs, there's eight senses that go a little bit more developed than the five senses. So the first one, and my personal strongest, is clairvoyance. So clairvoyance is the clear seeing. Now, when I say clear seeing, that's not what you see with your eyes. That's more of what you see with your mind's eye. So clairvoyance, I'll give you an example. When I'm working with people, I see images. And I see stories and I see different imagery that tells me about their energy or what they're carrying or what's not healed. A more realistic day-to-day example of that, this is probably one of my favorites, is I was doing a nature walk with my son, and just for like a split second, my eyes were actually open for this, but I saw it in my mind's eye. For a split second, I saw an image of a feather. A very small feather. It was brown with white little dots on it and black stripes. Well, around the next corner, I looked down and there it is. But I saw it in my mind's eye first. That was the clear seeing. Now, people with clairvoyance have very open third eyes in their chakras. This is where they take in a lot of their information. And any of these, you can get very sensory overload really easily in that sense. Clairvoyance processors also tend to have very vivid dreams because, again, that third eye is very open. They're very image-based. You're very visual people. The next one is claircognizance. So that's just a clear knowing. So clear knowing is a sense of just having the answers without thinking about it. You just know, and you have no logical explanation to know. You just know the answers, you know what's right, you know what you should do, or you know what someone else should do. You just know, right off the bat. You don't even have to take a split second to think about it. You just know. You have a very clear knowing. It's a deep wisdom. The next one is one that I find in a lot of my clients, and I think is more common than we give it credit. Clairaudience. So clairaudience is clear hearing. This means you take in messages through hearing. Now, when I say hearing, this is oftentimes hearing your spirit guides, or hearing a spirit that has passed. The biggest sign of this, or you can hear ringing too. The biggest sign of this, how I ask people when I pick it up in them, is I say, do you oftentimes feel that you hear someone talking to you and you look around and there's no one there? And sometimes you can make out what they say, sometimes you can't, and sometimes it's in a totally different language. Also, people with this tend to have ear problems growing up, chronic ear infections, or they have hearing loss at some point in their life. This one's awesome. I have this one a little bit. It's not as strong as the clairvoyance, but I love this one because it can be really clear. If you can really hone in on it and you can quiet down the noise, you can hear the messages coming through, there's a lot of information you can get with this. Because like I said, it can be a relative that passed away. It can be your spirit guides talking to you. Or it could be your own voice coming through with your own highest self coming through with that. So I really love that one. When I find it in people, I actually get a really high pitch ringing in my ears. That's how I pick up that people have that one. The next one is clair empathy. This is your empath. Right? This is your clear feeling. You feel the emotions of others. You feel the sadness of others, or you feel the anger of others, and you feel it as if it's your own. So when I gave the example of walking into a room and knowing that someone's been fighting there before, it's because you can feel it in your body. You can feel those emotions of fighting. So that's what this one is. This is going to be your part of your empath. You feel the emotions of others. This is a great way to connect with other people. But it's also, you have to be very careful to differentiate your feelings and their feelings. The next one is, sorry, I'm taking a breath, collecting, making sure how many I have and how many I have left to go. So the next one is clairtangency. So this is your clear touching. So I have this as well. And this is when you touch someone or you touch an object and you can pick up information about it. A good example of this is if anyone saw House on Haunted Hill. Now, this was kind of a mix of everything. It was really cool watching that show with my husband, because so much of it, I was like, oh my God, this is like my life. I've never known how to describe it to you. One of the main characters, she wears gloves because she's so sensitive to touch. Whatever she touches, she gets flooded with their emotions, with their memories, all of that. And so that's what this one is. You can touch someone or touch something and pick up on information about them. So I have this one and I use it in my healing sessions. When I physically touch someone, depending on where it is, I can see where the energy is kind of congested in their body. And if I go to that actual spot, more oftentimes than not, I can actually touch it and pick up memories of theirs. And it kind of just plays like a movie in my head. So that is the clairtangency mixed with the clairvoyance. It's easy to get confused with all these when you're talking about them all at once. So that's touching. And you can also see this a lot if someone buys something that's used and they go to touch it and they can tell you about the previous owners. They can tell you about where they got it. They can tell you about feelings of it or where it was stored. So that's the clear touching. Now, clairsentience. I have this one too. this is the clear feeling, but in a different way. So this is, you feel things in your own body, not just your emotional body, but you feel it in your physical body. So, for example, when I teach a yoga class and I walk in and all of a sudden my shoulder hurts, my students know this now, and I usually make a joke about it. I'll be like, okay, who's the one with the bum left shoulder? And someone will be like, yeah, it's me. Because I can feel it in my body. I can feel their pain in my body. A lot of people that work on bodies doing massage or different healing modalities tend to have this because it's a gift that's led them there and it's a gift that helps them there. But you have to be very careful not to take it on as your own. Another example of this is when bad energy is around or spirits around or something like that. You may get like a turning in your stomach. Right? So that's feeling it in your own body. Then we have our, let's see if I can say this right, clairalliance. I don't think I said that right, but it's clear smelling. This one's super cool. It's a little bit more rare. I've met a few people with this. They can tell energy by smelling. So I once had a client that I was working with privately. And she was amazing at this. She walked in one day and she just stopped. She looked at me and she said, she kind of gave a sniff. And she goes, okay, who in your family is sick? I said, oh, my son's down with a cold right now. She goes, yep, I can smell it. And I've met another person that describes it as when someone's in a good mood or they're having a good day, they smell very sweet, almost floral or like a sweet food. And when they're having a bad day or they have bad energy or something's going on, they smell sour or pungent. So this is taking in information through smell and being able to identify energy or emotions through smell, which is really cool. I don't have that one, but I think it's really cool. and now I have yet to meet anyone with this one. So if you are this one, please write to me and tell me. I want to know what this experience is like. Let's see if I can pronounce it. Clairgustance. So this is perceiving information through taste. So you don't have to eat something. You can pick up someone's memory of a taste, or you get a taste in your mouth. And you can pick up information based on that. So like, say, for instance, I'm going to try to make this up. But again, if you have this, please let me know, because I haven't talked to anyone with this one. If you suddenly taste red licorice and you taste it so much in your mouth starts to water. And you're with someone and you say, I really taste red licorice. And they're like, oh, that's so funny. My grandmother who passed away, she always carried that with her and she was always eating it. That's an indication that that grandmother is probably with that person and around. And you're picking up on her energy and you're getting the taste of that in your mouth. So that's really cool. Again, if you have that one, please write me and let me know. All right. So those are the eight clairs. And like I said, as we're going over them, you probably identify with one or two or three or four or all of them. It tends to be a crossover. And the more you hone in on them, the more you allow those gifts to shine, the more access you'll have to them. The stronger they become, and you may start to have more. So, getting back to the psychic part, that's where these clairs come in. Psychics take in information from senses that are more than the five senses and can tell you information based off of those senses, right? So those are psychics. So what's the difference between an intuitive and a psychic? The biggest difference is intuitive uses their intuition, and that comes immediately, and it comes directly. There's no deciphering. It's very, very clear. Now, a psychic, because you're using your other senses to receive the information, it takes longer to kind of download and process the information and then put it into words. So that's the big difference between intuitive, using your intuition, and using psychic abilities. There's that deep processing time where you kind of have to decode everything and figure out what it means to the senses, whereas the intuition is just very kind of upfront. Very upfront, very fast, and you don't need that decoding time. Let's get into channels and mediums. So channeling. Channeling doesn't always have to be ritualistic. For me, it's very ritualistic. When I do a healing session, I go into a channel mode where I can allow the information to come through. So channeling allows you to step back in an unbiased way and completely remove your ego and completely remove yourself, kind of allowing your body or your mind to be this empty vessel. And when you're an empty vessel, you can channel and receive information. So sometimes you'll find people channel other people or spirit guides. I learned a lot about this when I went to my shaman. They do a thing called a soul extraction, where if there's different souls in you, they remove them before they do a soul retrieval. And in order to do this, you have to completely remove yourself. And the shaman calls upon the spirits that are in you. And all of a sudden, words start coming out that's not your voice. It's not you. It's the other person. Now, it doesn't have to be that extreme, right? Like, it doesn't have to be like a scene from The Exorcism to channel. And it's not scary. So another example of that is when I'm doing my healing sessions, I have quite a few different spirit guides that I work with. But one of my main ones that comes through is, I call her grandmother. She's this beautiful, elderly Native American woman. And she's a medicine woman. She works a lot with plants. And she often assists me in my healing sessions. And I'll talk to her and I'll have a dialogue. But I'll also kind of clear myself to allow her to give me information about the person and about remedies. She gives them homework and recipes to go home and make, or that I make for them. But in order to receive that information, I have to void myself, right? And I have to take myself out of the equation. She does her thing through me, or I just get the message from her and I write it down. So that's channeling. So you're channeling, you're removing yourself to get information from whatever the source may be. Spirit guide, deity, anything. Now, the difference between channeling and mediumship is mediumship is similar to channeling. However, it's making specific communication with people that were of this realm at some point that have passed. So it's those people that can connect with a past loved one. It's the people that you go to that are like, you bring your grandmother's locket. And you say, she passed away. I'd like you to make contact with her and see what she has to say. Those are mediums. They can connect with a specific person that has passed away. And they can have a dialogue with them. And they can get information for you, for them. Now, I can do this. I can't control mine. I wish I could. I don't really have control of who comes through. So I can't do that for people. But oftentimes in my healing session, people do come through. I don't know who they are. Sometimes they'll tell me, sometimes they won't. And then I'll talk to my clients afterwards. But usually it's a loving person who is with you to watch over you. Or I have worked with some people in life service positions, like nurses and doctors and whatnot, where they tend to, when people pass, the spirits kind of tend to stay with them. So a medium is someone that can speak with somebody on the other side of the veil. And they can really, they're really good about honing in, and they can kind of call who they need to on demand. So that's channeling and mediumship. Lastly, I'm not going to go super into this, because I'm going to save going really far into this for another whole nother podcast in its own. Because it's such a trendy word right now, and I really want to spend a lot of time going in depth into it. And that is empaths, right? Pretty much everyone I've met to some degree is an empath. To some degree. And I oftentimes hear a lot of people, a lot of leaders, a lot of healers don't necessarily agree with that. I do. Because I think everyone's capable and everyone has the potential. It's just if you're in tune to it or not. The only people that I've met that aren't empaths, and it's funny because it's like the other edge of the sword, are true narcissists. And I'm not talking about you're mad at someone so you call them a narcissist. True diagnosed narcissism, because they lack the ability to feel empathy. But empaths, what are empaths? So empaths are someone who feels someone else's emotions as their own, or their energy as their own. So my favorite example I like to give of this is, say you're going to go meet a girlfriend for coffee, or a friend, or someone for coffee. You are in a great mood. Like, you're just having the best day ever. You're in a great mood. Nothing's bothering you. Nothing can get you down. Well, your friend is having a really hard time at life right now. And so the coffee date goes a little bit more of her, him, kind of telling you everything while you listen. And then by the time you leave, your friend is in the best mood. And now suddenly you feel tired, you feel fatigued, and you feel how they felt when they walked in. So that is a clear sign. That's kind of my like empath test 101. Is feeling others' emotions so deeply. So sympathy is being able to sympathize with someone else's emotions, right? You can understand, you can hold space, and you can understand the emotion that they're having. being an empath takes it to where you can absorb or feel their emotion like it's your own. As you can imagine, this is very, very draining. And it takes a lot of practice to be able to identify what is your emotion, what is someone else's emotion, and not holding on to someone else's emotion or energy. Because what happens is, as empaths, we want to naturally help everybody. So we absorb their emotion because we want them to feel better, right? We want them to feel happy. So we absorb the emotion for them and give them ours in exchange. So this is why I want to do a long podcast on it. Because I got tools up the wazoo for you guys. I got all kinds of empath information. But that's what the very basic 101 of what an empath is. So we've covered it all, you guys. And I want to hear either in the reviews or email me at aliciacortis@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram. I'm align.with.alicia. Let me know. Let me know if listening to this helped you, if you can identify now. Because when we look at these, how they've been portrayed in society, they're pretty far out there, right? Like, the psychic is the image with the crystal ball, and you go into a tent, she'll tell you all about your future. It's not that. It's actually much more realistic than you think. A medium, I always think of the Long Island medium. I love her. But is someone that's very in tune and can summon the dead, you know? And so a lot of these labelings and the way that society has portrayed them are so far-fetched that you never sit with and think that it could possibly be you. But it's much more realistic than you think. So with that said, let this sit, let this digest, and maybe start to identify, you know what, I do have some of these gifts. And start to listen to them more and start to talk about them more. And when you talk about them, you give others permission to do the same. And then you start to find this soul tribe where you can just be really authentically yourself. Magic things happen when you're in that space. And the more you start to listen to them, the more you give them permission to speak, the stronger they'll become and the more useful they'll be, right? You might use your senses, your clear senses, to all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to go this way instead of going the way I normally go today because I have a feeling there's an accident on that road, right? It doesn't have to be so out there. It can be everyday stuff. All right, you guys. Thank you for holding this space with me. Thanks for getting weird with me. Sit with this, and like I said, I'd love to hear from you all. We're going to close today. I don't know why. I feel called to play one of my crystal singing bowls. Ground us all back down. So wherever you are, just take a deep, big breath through the nose and let it out the mouth. Do that again. Inhale through the nose. Exhale, let it out of the mouth. Close your eyes. Just let this wash over you. Have a beautiful rest of your day, Align, Tribe, and don't forget to like, comment, and review.